Support for Millennial is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace. Share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code Millennial, M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L, at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Sometimes when I get stressed out and I need a break from thinking too much, I walk out to this pier that overlooks the ocean. It's been cold lately, but if the sun is out, I sometimes find myself sitting there just watching the waves go in and out. It's tempting to look off into the distance at a boat and think, maybe that could be me. Maybe I could jump onto a sailboat and leave everything behind. I have a lot of friends who do that. Maybe they haven't jumped on a sailboat specifically, but they jump on airplanes when things aren't working out the way they thought they would. I have a friend who just told me that if she can't find work in a couple of months, she's going to pack her bags and travel to Europe. My cousin just said the same thing, except he wants to go to South America and teach himself Spanish. I have a friend who just came back from a year of teaching English in France after she quit her 9-to-5 job that she hated. When my friends are in other countries, I sometimes get lost scrolling through their feeds on social media. I know it's not good for me, but I can't help it. As I look at these boats passing by, I think maybe it could be that easy to just leave everything on the shoreline and go off on an adventure. I'm Megan Tan, and you're listening to the first episode of Season 2 of Millennial, a podcast about maneuvering your 20s captured in real time. And this season, we're going to shake things up a bit. We're going to do something new. We're going to merge my experience as a 20-something with other people's. And we're going to start with this guy. Kinley. So, a couple of months ago, my boyfriend Ben received a strange text message from this guy that he used to go to elementary school with, but he hadn't seen in 12 years. Ben kind of said that this guy had disappeared. And then all of a sudden, he got this message that he wanted to meet up for drinks. I was intrigued, which usually leads to snooping. Surrounded by the ocean. This is a beautiful photo. That looks amazing. He does look like one adventurous, crazy dude. I'm looking through his Facebook right now. Bermuda, South Africa, Australia. There were 3 years of this. And in these photos, he's surrounded by blue. Blue skies, blue waters. Kinley was someone who looked out into the ocean and left. And I wanted to know more. So I hunted him down myself.
Come in, come in.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. When I walk into Kinley's apartment, it reminds me of college. Kinley's music is blaring, and he looks like he's in the middle of a project. He's making something out of wood on his drawing table in the corner of the room, and everything around him is a little half done. His bed is half made. His drawers are all halfway open, and there are cups that are half full or half empty, depending on the type of person you are. No judgment. We end up sitting on his bed because there really aren't any chairs. And I ask him, how did you get into sailing? Although I really wanted to ask him, how did you find yourself living this life that everybody else wants to live?
My senior year, I took a class, and my professor, Pam McPhee, just asked the whole student population, what is it you want to do? I wanted to sail around the world for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. But it was kind of this extreme goal that I had. I found someone that was doing a delivery.
What does a delivery mean?
Moving a boat from A to B, from Boston to Bermuda down to the Caribbean. I remember walking off that boat, walking up the docks and looking at this gorgeous, her name's Sophaedra, this beautiful classic Augie Nielsen boat. It's like, oh, I wish.
Was it like she stood out in the crowd across the room?
Oh, totally. Yeah. She could walk into a room and you would have your sails blown. Yeah, totally.
Didn't.
I was trying to think of a pun. It didn't really work.
That was really good. That was actually really good. There's actually a video of Kinley in this boat Sophaedra online.
Here she is. She's a 51-foot catch.
He's giving a tour, and you can tell that he's in love.
Classic wooden. Beautiful boat. We made it to Bermuda.
Yeah, and then that was my first, like, delivery long offshore passage. And I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. It was fantastic.
What does that feel like or mean?
I was hooked in the sense that it was simple. It was really simple. It's good when life is simple. You know, you don't have your kids to go pick up from school, or you don't have to go to the post office. You don't have to go to the bank. Your laundry, you don't really have laundry. You've been wearing the same clothes for a week. I was able to just vanish into this kind of rolling thunder. Because it's true, when you're on a boat, it's a little nutshell of heaven. It's a little isolated capsule that, there could be a nuclear war and you'd have no idea.
It sounds ideal. As he's talking, all I can think about are his photos on Facebook, where he's sitting in the sun, he's tan, smiling. It seems like he's found his niche and he's happy, which makes sailing around the world sound even more attractive. But I've taken a spontaneous trip before, and it wasn't always a nutshell of heaven. I don't know if I ever told you this story. Remember when I was rejected from the Kroc Fellowship at National Public Radio? The job that I really, really wanted?
We're sorry to inform you that you have not been selected for an NPR Kroc Fellowship this year. You should keep in mind that this was an extraordinarily competitive process. And take pride in the fact that you were in the top 10 of the selected group of candidates.
Well, after that rejection, things were pretty dark. And that's when I was thinking about how great it would be to jump on a sailboat or jump on an airplane and leave. I would have done anything to clear my mind of this fellowship that I didn't get.
La Crosse, G12, Madison, G1A.
The crazy thing is that it came true. Out of the blue, Ben pitched me this proposition. He was going to go off to this crazy Mexican border town and film someone having surgery for a possible documentary. And he asked me if I could come. I speak a little bit of Spanish, so I would translate and I would help film. It sounded perfect.
There it is. La Frontera. Like the border? Esto pasa es para cruzar la frontera. This pass is to cross the border.
Right?
So there we were. Ben, my boyfriend, Dylan, our friend, and myself. A few 20-somethings walking across the border with a few suitcases of video gear and really not a whole lot of a plan. But I didn't care. I wanted to be in a place where it would be easy to stop thinking about the future. And if we were going to be in 90-degree heat in a Latin American country, shooting a project next to a swimming pool, well, hey, that sounds good too.
All right, let's go. Are we in Mexico? That's it? That's it?
Yeah.
They didn't even check our passports. I can't believe that was it.
Hola, buenas tardes. Nosotros necesitamos ir al...
Súbanse, si se van ahí, súbanse.
Sí, pero ¿cuánto cuesta? Nosotros necesitamos... calle...
The plan that we had kind of constructed was that the three of us were going to be living in one hotel room for 10 days. And during those 10 days, we were going to be filming someone having surgery. But before we did any of that, we had to take care of some business.
I did not bring toothpaste.
So we walked into a grocery store that looked like Mexico's version of Walmart and stocked up on bread. Really greasy salami, peanut butter and jelly, and granola bars.
These are mangoes.
Oh.
These are real mangoes.
Those are mangoes?
Yeah.
Basically, college comfort food.
This is like a different kind of summer camp, you know?
As I walked out of this grocery store that was 3,000 miles away from my life in Maine, I felt like this is already helping.
This is gonna be fun. I can feel it already.
And I couldn't help myself. I started posting pictures on Facebook. But that's when the photo opportunities stopped. Before I tell you what happens, we're gonna send a shout out to our sponsors. Support for Millennial comes from Audible.com. Audible.com has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken audio products. I recently picked up Amy Poehler's book, Yes Please, and while I was reading it, I was laughing out loud, in public. At Audible.com, Amy will read her book to you. Listen to Yes Please by going to Audible.com. And if you don't want to be that person laughing out loud in public, because hey, it's not for everyone, you can get a free audiobook of your choice and a 30-day trial by signing up today. Just go to audible.com/millennial. Two L's, two N's. When we came back to our hotel room, we sat down to talk through logistics, and we immediately started running into problems. Suddenly, this wasn't vacation. This was work. None of us had ever been to Mexico. None of us had made a possible feature-length documentary film. And none of us had ever worked this closely before with each other in a foreign country. But that wasn't even our biggest problem.
I don't know even what's going to happen with Access tomorrow.
So what is worst case scenario?
Our biggest problem was that we had just put all of our expenses on a credit card, and we didn't even know if we had permission to do what we came here to do, film our subject having surgery, because we hadn't talked to the hospital about it.
Worst case scenario is they shut us down completely, and they're calling security and security saying this.
And then how do we react to them shutting us down completely? That's what I'm asking. Like, what should we be prepared for? Because we're kind of just waiting.
We are, yeah. And that's not, I feel like it's beyond our control in the first part of tomorrow.
I guess we were thinking it would be better to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. So the plan was we were going to show up to the hospital, start filming, and cross our fingers that we wouldn't run into any problems. When I went to sleep that night with my batteries charged and my gear set up, I went to bed knowing that it's possible, that we had traveled all this way for nothing. Luckily, the hospital did let us come in and film. A lot. And in the beginning, it was exciting. But after the first 2 days, the pressure and responsibility as a translator, a filmmaker, and a girlfriend started to get tough.
Second day in Mexicali. Long day.
Part of the nature of making this type of feature-length documentary film that we wanted to make was that our lives were totally consumed by someone else's. Meaning, I would wake up early, grab my camera equipment, pack my sandwich, and spend 12 hours thinking to myself, okay, do I need to be standing or sitting for the shot? Should I be on the right side or the left side? Do I want to shoot a tight, medium, or wide? Do I want a 50, 100, or 28 lens? Is everything in focus? These types of conversations would replay in my head on loop for hours. And even when we wrapped up a long day of filming, our days didn't stop. In the evenings, we would review footage, edit clips together, and talk about them.
What I do really like about this, though, is the chainsaw thing.
Yeah, and the packing with cocaine.
The joke about the chainsaw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just like trimming fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We're just making it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're making it.
What kind of visuals would you see with this one?
These.
Move them.
And we're going to put these at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm saying. So
okay.
There's going to be a butt.
Okay.
But we're still going to end with her
with
talking
that.
About.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The running.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to do it.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm tired. You can hear it in my voice. And that exhaustion didn't really go away. And that was not what I was expecting. I was expecting that this trip to Mexico was going to ease my anxiety about not getting the Kroc Fellowship. But instead, the anxiety was replaced with this project.
There was a point when we were in the waiting room, and I was just like, what are we doing?
A part of me was like, what are we doing? Why are we here? Especially when my romanticized idea of working alongside my boyfriend on a creative project started to break down. There was a lot of tension between Ben and I. Our patience with each other was short, and we were getting into arguments we had never had. Arguments about the lack of appreciation for all of the tiring translating I was doing for the group. It made me feel like I had taken on this weird mom role, because I felt like I was taking care of everyone. We were also in work mode, which definitely changed the dynamic between us. We weren't as affectionate to each other. We were hugging less, joking less, laughing less. It was like I was sleeping next to someone I hadn't been dating for the last 3 years. I don't like having tension in our relationship. And once it's there, I'm not the type of person to throw it under the rug. I'm the type of person to bring it out, to look at it, to figure out why it exists. Ben and I went to a coffee shop to figure out what was going on between us.
Why do you think this is happening now and it hasn't happened before?
What do you mean by it?
Like our relationship, me feeling stressed out. I just wonder, like, what is different for this project versus all the other stuff that we worked on before?
I don't think it is. I mean, I feel the same way as with the other projects, only it's heightened because we've spent 4 days in a hotel room doing it. Like, we spent 4 days nonstop shooting this thing. And then you feeling isolated from everyone else around you, I think, has made all of this come together. I with the other projects that we've done, I feel like that the feeling is sort of the same.
What do you mean the feeling is sort of the same?
Just this struggle that we have together and trying to work out how we work together and the best way to make that happen and still balance having an emotional relationship. And we've gotten better and better at that, but I think there are still things that we need to get over, both of us.
Do you feel like it's still worth working on things together?
Yeah, it is, but it's not if you hate doing it. That's what it sounds like to me right now. And it sounds to me like you want to quit. Like you don't want to work on this anymore.
I just want to figure out like how I can find joy out of this.
I know. I want that too.
Haven't been in a situation where it's just you and I. And we haven't laughed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because of course.
Working, yeah, I no, get
I mean,
that.
We're like living in a hotel room with another person, and we're shooting constantly with other people. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that's true.
It's been
3 days of that.
Sure, and that's
too long.
Yeah, it's just like straining on the relationship, because then I start second guessing everything.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Is like it's straining for you. You start second guessing everything. I don't second guess anything. I'm not second-guessing our relationship.
It's hard to listen to this tape, mostly because it doesn't sound like us. When I was making this episode, Ben and I had a long conversation about putting in this piece of audio, because this kind of conversation wasn't normal. I rarely find myself questioning whether Ben and I should be together. But this is what happened. This is what traveling to a foreign country, in addition to shooting a documentary project and living in a hotel room, resulted in. After having this conversation, we both apologized, and we stopped arguing for the rest of the trip.
Hola, buenos días.
Buenos días.
Nosotros necesitamos salir, como se dice, check out. Check out.
¿Checar salido?
Ajá.
¿Ya manejas la habitación?
Sí.
The room?
Yep.
Okay.
When I think about Mexico now, I do think about the adventure, but I also remember the arguments and the tough days.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Sitting across from Kinley in his room, I can't imagine that he was smiling the whole time, like his photos on Facebook. Like, were your expectations ever deflated, though? You know? Because a lot of times I think, like I said...
Expectations of the trip?
Yeah. I think even right now, like, listening to you, it's really easy to romanticize. And I feel like when you're planning something, or when you really are like, I just want to take a risk, I just want to go on an adventure, this sounds amazing. But then once you get there, you're like, fuck, like, this is hard.
Yeah, let's stop romanticizing and tell us the truth. And the truth isn't pretty. It is mentally exhausting, always on the move and transient, going to the bar by yourself. I've done that countless times, and it's a little humiliating. Yeah, let's call it humiliating. In that instance, it's lonely. It's a little sad.
Were you trying to come back, though, to, like, see if land life will work for you?
I was.
Yeah, I was. It's strange to be back, and yeah, I definitely felt like I expected the college life to still, I expected that still, I think, and that's not the case. Let me give you an example of my good friend, Ty Morris. He just got married. He has a job that he really likes. He has a dog. He has a house. I am so far behind that type of lifestyle. Yeah. I feel like I need to start sprinting just to catch up.
Did you feel like you, I don't know, were trying to put off having to grow up in some ways?
I've always tried to put off growing up. I've always tried to have a little Peter Pan and...
Why have you always wanted to be the Peter Pan? You know, like, why put it off? Because, like, what are you afraid of?
I don't know. I'm just afraid of... that's a good question. I don't know. Why do I like to be Peter Pan? I think... do you not want to be Peter Pan?
I do, but I also... I don't know. I feel like I have to face my shit sooner or later, you know? And, like, I think I've taught myself conscientiously that if there's a storm and the storm is going to be there, I might as well just go through it.
This is what I'm afraid of, missing out on what I really want. And so I'm in this position now, this transition, where I don't know what I want. I used to know, and that was sail around the world. And I think now I'm trying to figure out what is it that I really want, you know?
Scrolling on Facebook, I look at photos differently. I analyze them more closely, like I think Sherlock Holmes would do if he had a Facebook account, because I'm trying to catch a glimpse of what is actually real. When my friends are standing in front of a volcano or on top of a mountain in a faraway country, are their smiles forced? Did they just have an argument with their boyfriend? Are they on this trip because they've been rejected from a job or a fellowship? Are they climbing this mountain because they don't want to grow up? They want to be Peter Pan forever. A part of me wants to see transparency on social media, and a part of me wants to ask people if the things that they post are really the best way to hide what is actually happening. When I look out over the ocean, I don't stop fantasizing about what it would be like to travel. But now I know that I can't do it with the intention of leaving things behind. Because even if I pack a small suitcase, and jump on an airplane and fly thousands of miles away from where I was. I know that all the things that I'm escaping will be coming with me. Editing help for this episode was provided by Ben Severance, Dylan Ward, and Rob McKinley Myers. Rob is actually launching a new company that is going to help people make documentary podcasts. So if you're interested in learning, go to his website, phonograph.media, for more information. Also, special thanks to Ashley Norman and, of course, Kinley Viandier for allowing me to come over and ask him all sorts of questions. Support for Millennial is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace. Show people what you are doing or what you want to be doing by going to squarespace.com, where you can build a blog, portfolio, or online store. And enter offer code Millennial at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Before we give you scenes from the next episode of Millennial, I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who has pitched us the story. Moving forward, we want to have different prompts for story pitches. So this month's prompt is going to be debt and student loans. If you have a story about the crazy things you do to pay off your student loans or an experience you've had with debt, tell us. Go to millennialpodcast.org and scroll down to the bottom where it says pitch us a story. You can also follow the show on Twitter at HearMillennial, H-E-A-R Millennial, or find us on Facebook. Now, here are scenes from the next episode of Millennial. There are rumors going around.
Okay, Jillian, wait, what are you telling me?
Ben wants to marry Auntie Megan.
Thank you. I don't know. I thought the pressure would be from someone else.